It's a Thursday. Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. You've got Mike and Pete across the way. Bogish with your updates as we go right up until 9. Jack Del Rio is going to join Taz and myself coming your way in the third and final hour. So it'll be good to talk to the former Viking linebacker, former head coach and defensive coordinator in the National Football League. You see him all over the place now. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, man?
Good. Bruce, I'm good. Hello, everybody out there listening to us right now. Hello, Mike. Hello, Pete. Hello, Andrew out in the newsroom. Hello, everyone.
Yes, yeah, and we got 3 hours of chatting with you, and we kick it off talking a little bit about the comments from Troy Aikman, who was on a Dallas radio station yesterday. Very, very critical, Taz, of Jerry Jones and the leadership of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, he really did. He didn't pull any punches, did Aikman, and I think it's definitely an eye opener hopefully for Jerry Jones. I mean, I don't know how much Jerry Jones gives a rat's you know what about Aikman. I would hope he respects him and his expertise and the great player he was and what he did for that Cowboys franchise and what he actually does in the announce booth. Now he's still on top of the game as one of the better color commentators covering pro football. So yeah, I mean he really went at Jones. He went a little bit at the coaching. He went at the whole overview, right? The whole thing of what's more important? Is it football or is it the business of football until it's game day? That was like his big, more or less, his, I'm paraphrasing and pulling out one little bit of what he said, but he had some heavy comments.
Yeah, saying there's a lot to this job. There's a lot he has to overcome. This is in reference to Garrett specifically. It's not run traditionally the way most organizations are, and that is that is to the detriment of the Cowboys. You can't look at 3 playoff wins over the last 25 years and surmise that all the problems over that time have to do with coaching. I think you have to look at the top and say, how are we doing it from the top? I think businesses do that. I think anyone worth their salt evaluated from the top down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, taking basically a bullseye on the Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones, and his family in terms of the way, and certainly they're great businessmen and businesswomen, as his daughter plays an instrumental role in the Cowboys franchise as well. The valuation is off the charts, right? I mean, they've got a mecca of a stadium. A lot of people believe it's the best stadium in the National Football League down there. People I know that have gone there, Taz, basically say it's unbelievable. I mean, you go watch a Cowboy game or a football game down there, college maybe. That's an unbelievable experience. So, they're great at printing money. They're just not great at winning.
Right.
It's amazing how, successful and, how the value of the Dallas Cowboys continues to go up and up and up. But it has been a long time since Barry Switzer and win that last Super Bowl.
And they have the talent. And that's kind of what Aikman said in his statements, too. Troy Aikman said, I mean, the talent's there. It's just not. Is it a coaching issue? Is it a front office issue? I mean, another one of his quotes, he said, You've got a head coach who comes down and says we're gonna basically evaluate a kicker, and then the front office says right after that, probably in a press conference right outside the locker room, that they're not evaluating a kicker. So it's like he's using that as an example, Aikman. That happens a lot with Jerry Jones, as you know, because he micromanages and he's on top of it. And I kind of took from it too that Aikman was saying he feels like Jones wants, Garrett to really do well. And this, the way he goes about it, I mean, I'm not speaking for Aikman, but it sounds like he's not a fan of how Jerry Jones and the people in that front office under Jones, the brass of the Cowboys, does the business part of the football business. And I think it's probably mostly because of the micromanaging.
Yeah, and I think I think you're dead on correct in terms of that assessment. Now and we'll get to some more of the quotes from Aikman, but now the case is does it for Jerry Jones, does it really do anything? Does it move the needle, so to speak? Does it bring about any kind of a change? You look at a Hall of Fame quarterback, an immortal Cowboy, a guy that won a lot of football games, was the number one pick, coming out of UCLA, a number of years ago. Certainly was there during the glory days of Jimmy Johnson when the Cowboys were, one of the most dominant teams in the National Football League, Taz. Does it does it cause Jerry Jones to move? Or is it a case of where Jerry Jones thinks, you know, who's been uber successful, who's a billionaire, is it going to cause Jerry Jones to look at and say, ah, you know, it doesn't really factor in. We're doing things the right way. Troy might not agree, but we're going to prove Troy Aikman wrong.
Yeah, me personally, I don't think nothing is going to get Jerry Jones to move. He's 77 years old. Like you said, he's a billionaire, ultra-successful man. No matter if you like him or not, he has a brand in itself called Jerry Jones. It's him, not just a top-notch American businessman, but he's a household name per se, definitely in sports. So he's got an ego. You can tell he's got an ego. And most men or women that are billionaires, well, they have an ego. And if you're going to be a billionaire, you probably should have an ego. So, but I don't think I don't know if your question is rhetorical or not, but I don't think there's nothing. That's going to, no matter if it's Aikman, I don't care if it's Roger Staubach, I don't care which great quarterback or great football player that was a Dallas Cowboy says anything publicly about Jerry Jones, I don't think it's going to change Jones one iota.
I don't disagree. The way that I looked at the comments, Taz, I looked at it as more of a defense. I mean, critical of Jones, certainly. But I think the motivation from Aikman was a defense of his friend Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
That's the way I looked at it. That's the way when I heard it. That's the way I think the comments read when I read it. When he says, we've got a head coach who we know for 10 years has been saying we're focused on Tuesday today. That's all we're worried about is having the best practice today that we could possibly have. That's been his message throughout. And the owner's talking about getting on a run to win the Super Bowl, and they've lost three of their last four. So in terms of, I think it's a case of everybody likes to, it feels like across the country, you know, knock Jason Garrett. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. You know, clapping, chewing gum, patting guys on the rear end on the way out. He's the ultimate head coach cheerleader. We've heard all the knocks of Jason Garrett, of what, you know, the perception of Garrett across the National Football League landscape. I thought it was motivation of Aikman saying, listen, guys, you know, if you're not part of it, if you're not basically there, you don't exactly know what's going on. And Jason Garrett's got a lot to deal with on a day-in, day-out basis. This isn't a simple head coaching job. This is a case of basically him having to run through hoops on a day-in, day-out basis.
Yeah.
That's the way I looked at it.
Yeah, no, I think you might be right. You're pretty much dead on. I mean, because that's got to be what it is. And definitely the friendship with Aikman and Garrett, for sure. And look, as a former player, like Aikman, he's probably looking at, like, you know, as a former player, he's looking at how these players are thinking and what they're dealing with. They don't know. I mean, who's in charge? You know, if the ownership, if the brass is passive aggressively undermining their coaching staff, namely the head coach, and saying in the comments he said, you know, which is definitely passive aggressive that we played with Jones played that yesterday. I think he said something like he's gonna coach it. You know, Garrett's gonna coach in the NFL someplace. Something to that. I'm paraphrasing it, but. You know, those comments, like, players hear that, and they're like, damn, wow, geez. Now, so then, Aikman's probably thinking for his friend Garrett, like, wow, if you lose the locker room and the players start to lose some respect for you because the boss has no respect for you and publicly punks you out in a nice way, that's not good.
No,
it's not good at all.
No, you need to certainly have the room. You certainly need to have the ear of the players.
Yeah, if you want to get the players, room, forget about
right. If you want to get the players to respond to you and to play hard, and you know, we referenced it a number of weeks back where Jason Garrett, before you know losing three of their last four, you know had a meeting with his players, taking responsibility for some of the mistakes he said on the sideline, and reportedly down in Dallas was that went over very, very well. Where, you know, the players looked at Garrett as a little bit differently in his connection with the players. And then you're getting these kind of stories coming out. You reference the stuff with, and Maher has been terrible. Brett Maher has been terrible this year for the Dallas Cowboys. How many big kicks has he missed over the course of the year?
No.
I'm not saying that's the reason why they're a 6-6 football team, but he's part of the problem. He's not been part of the solution. So when you're bringing in guys like Nick Rose, the former Texas kicker, and I think he kicked for the Washington Redskins at one point in time, and other field goal kickers, and you're getting the, you know, difference of the messaging from ownership and the head coach, how badly does that look upon a team in terms of everybody not being on the same page, where the coach is saying, yes, we are looking at other guys, there are tryouts, and then, you know, the Jerry Jones is basically saying, no, that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I mean, how do you do that? As an organization, you talk about lack of communication. Well, how exactly do you expect to be run effectively, Taz, where everyone's pointed in the same direction when you don't even seem to be on the same direction regarding your field goal kicker?
And you're right. And even to that point, so check it out. So just imagine now, let's just say, for hits and giggles, you're Ron Rivera. Right, so you're out of the Panthers, but you're still a young enough guy in your mid 50s, and you're in good shape, and your mind is straight, and you're respected in the league as a former excellent player and an excellent coach. And now, Jerry Jones, you know, he ends up, let's say, at the end of the eight, Garrett's gone. All that speculation is the truth. So now they start exploring Ron Rivera, maybe coming to be the Dallas Cowboys head coach. Like, if you're him, are you going to want a veteran head coach who's legitimate? As a coach, are you going to want to deal with being undermined and disrespected and punked out by the owner? If I'm Rivera, I don't want to go to the Cowboys unless the money is insane and I have full protection and creative control of my team, my scheme, and my owner of the team is not going to love the microphone and the camera so much. My point is, some coaches that have... you know, that are a little longer in the tooth, that are credible, they might not want to go if they have other options to the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, that's fair, unless the draw is of the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, the brand.
And America's
right.
team, and doing it in Dallas, and the popularity of that team, and saying, I can be the guy that can get it right. Because coaches have a ton of confidence. But you're right, I mean, there are coaches, certainly, Taz, that are not going to want to be a part of that, are not going to be. And that's something that... you know, when people knock Jason Garrett, and I get you can knock him at X's and O's. I understand that, Taz. The one thing Jason Garrett is able to do personality-wise, something that Bill Parcells grew tired of, something that Jimmy Johnson grew tired of, is dealing with Jerry Jones's personality, dealing with the over-the-top nature. And what can he say? He's the owner of the team. So, I mean,
that's my point, yeah.
But the point is that there's not a lot of guys that can deal with that. But in order to deal with that, you have to get through a lot of nonsense and kind of, you know, put the boots on and get through a lot of BS, because there is a lot of nonsense that goes on there in Dallas that doesn't go on in other places because of how influential the owner is and how much he wants to be involved in terms of the football decision.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's why I'm saying, I mentioned a guy just for the hell of it, like a Rivera, a veteran coach. I think a younger coach coming out of college, to your point about the star and the brand of the Dallas Cowboys.
Like Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, right.
A lot of people have talked about that, you know, the Cowboys, you know, he's got Dallas Cowboys head coach written all over him.
There you go. I mean, because he's down there in Oklahoma, which is, you know, on a map, super close, you know,
right.
to Dallas,
Big
that part of the country, Big 12, exactly. I'm sure, would look at it like, oh, wow, this is amazing, amazing opportunity. The Dallas Cowboys, Tom Landry used to coach this team. This is unbelievable. Like, this is amazing, you know, that type thing. And, yeah, okay, I'll have to deal with Jerry Jones, but he will be subservient to Jerry Jones quicker than a guy who's a veteran coach. Like, let's say Fangio's Gonski from the Broncos. I'm not saying the Cowboys would want him. This man is not going to go there and deal with Jerry Jones.
Don't you have to know you're going to have to deal with that going in?
That's why you don't go in if you have other options. That's
right,
my point.
Right. And I get that. I understand that. But I
they're
mean,
not going to be a marking out for the star. That's my point.
I don't disagree with you. But I think you have to go in there with eyes wide open. I guess I look at it, Taz, in terms of, you know, looking at Jones, the owner, you know, is it, you know, we talk about what, you know, faces of teams, and you look at across the National Football League, there are not a lot of owners that are the face of the franchise. Jerry Jones is the face of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not Dak Prescott.
Right.
It's not Ezekiel Elliott. It's not Jason Garrett.
It's not Amari Cooper.
It's not Amari Cooper. It's not DeMarcus Lawrence. It's nobody else. How many, I think you could say that basically he's the only owner in the National Football League.
Is he the only owner like that? I mean,
I don't think there's another owner. I mean, listen, Rams fans in St. Louis can't stand Stan Kroenke.
Right.
You know, they want they put his head on a bullseye because of him moving the team to Los Angeles. I mean, at one point in time, I think the only guy that had that kind of feel was Al Davis.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Al Davis with the Raiders.
That's very true.
He was the face of the Raiders. Just win, baby. He defined Raiders football. When you thought about the Oakland or Los Angeles Raiders, you thought about Al Davis. I don't think there's another owner in the National Football League, Taz, unless you can think of one, where I say to myself, yeah, that's the face of the team.
Right, yeah, and even Kraft. Like, he's not the face of he's on camera a lot. He talks a lot. But he never, ever, ever undermines the coaches.
No.
Or the players. Belichick would be gone a long time ago. Belichick wouldn't deal with that. I think that's the other thing, too. I think coaches that have that success and that confidence and their belief in themselves, they're going to train you how to treat them. They're going to train that owner, you know, of that squad, of that team, hey, you're not going to publicly punk me out. You want to go behind closed doors and you want to, you know, go off on me or get mad at me or tell me I'm doing wrong. No problemo. But publicly, you're going to kill my credibility. That's going to be a problem. See, I don't think Garrett has that relationship like that with Jones. I agree
with you. I think Jason Garrett lets Jerry Jones be Jerry Jones.
That's it, man.
And I think that's where he's able to survive. For so long. I think that's why Jason Garrett's still the Cowboys head coach, because he has not gotten frustrated by this. Because he has not stepped up and said, this is nonsense. This can no longer happen. Because I think if that was transpiring, Taz, I think Jason Garrett might have been gone a while back still be the Cowboys head coach.
Well, let's just say, you're right. Yeah, I agree with you. But let's just say, like, just spitballing, like a college coach. You mentioned Lincoln Riley. Let's just say a guy older. Let's just say the great Nick Saban. Let's just say, I know this is not going to happen. He leaves Alabama. Okay, I want to give another shot at the NFL. That Dolphins thing flopped really bad. And I want to give this whole NFL thing a chance. And Jerry Jones and the Cowboys get a hold of Nick Saban's people. Nick Saban is not going to go to the Dallas Cowboys and deal with Jerry Jones. Like a guy like that, I'm saying, a coach, even on the college level, that's longer in the tooth, that's successful, believes in himself, that will have options, he is not going to deal with someone like a Jerry Jones. That's the thing. And you're right. I think that's how Garrett kept the job so long, because he just did his job and let Jones do what he wants and just said, hey, he's the owner, whatever. He wants to cut my feet off, just saying that nicely, publicly, then that's his business. I'll let him deal with it. I'll let him do it because he's the owner.
Unless you hit rock bottom.
Well, true.
Unless you get it into your contract, right? If you're Saban, you get it into your contract. Like Bill Parcells at one point in time, right? Had control, right? Then they all started to win. And then Jerry Jones started to get more involved. And then Bill Parcells basically wiped his hands and said, I can't do this anymore, right?
Right.
Jerry Jones, you go all the way back, Taz. You know, when the Cowboys were winning, when Jerry Jones first bought the Dallas Cowboys, right? They brought in Jimmy Johnson. And then they started, you know, winning precipitously. And Johnson did a great job with the draft and the Herschel Walker trade and the like. Jerry Jones, his ego couldn't handle the fact that Jimmy Johnson was getting all the credit.
Yeah.
And they started to butt heads. Their ego started to butt heads. That ended that relationship. And he brought in a guy like Barry Switzer, mm-hmm. who was not a good NFL head coach. We know what he was in college. But Barry Switzer rode the coattails of all those Johnson players in order to win a Super Bowl down there in Dallas. But they haven't won anything since.
No.
And I think it's the ego of Jerry Jones that has prevented sustained success here for the Dallas Cowboys. I really do.
No, I totally agree with you. And I think that he wants to have that guy, you know, who will fall in line. He wants that guy who he can micromanage and who will be subservient to him in football operations and then some. And I don't think he'll give that up in a contract to Nick Saban or anybody. I know Nick Saban's not going.
What you're talking about is that kind of a presence
right,
as a head coach.
Yeah, right.
That guy that has accomplished as much as he has. That bring in and say,
correct,
he's our solution. Like Parcells was at one point
exactly,
in time. When you crack out the carving board and you're all celebrating because here comes the conquering hero.
Right.
What Rutgers did yesterday was Schiano, that presser.
That's it. He's got all the control. He's going to win a national championship in 2 years.
Well, that's exactly. Chop that wood, Taz.
Chop the wood.
Chop the wood.
Chop the wood.
You're in the forest and the light beaming down.
Go Scarlet Knights.
Yeah. Do you agree with Troy Aikman's defense of Jason Garrett? More sympathy for the coach after what he had to say yesterday. Want to hear from you at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on this Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. We opened up the talk this morning talking a little bit about Troy Aikman's comments yesterday on a Dallas radio station. Very critical of the Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones, the Hall of Famer. We know what Aikman accomplished as a player, what he's doing as a broadcaster now for Fox, and kind of supportive of the head coach down there in Dallas, and Jason Garrett, saying it's a very, very difficult situation. The one thing it might help him do as well, Taz, is get another job next year in the NFL. I mean, it might help, you know, kind of, and we've talked about the respect level that Garrett has amongst other teams. In the National Football League, there was that report by Rappaport, if the Giants decide to part ways with Pat Shurmur, that they might be interested in Jason Garrett. What it might be helping grease the skids a little bit is for Garrett to get another opportunity in the NFL as well.
Yeah, definitely could. I mean, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. Aikman maybe could have quasi or maybe by design helped his buddy Garrett here. You never know. By kind of saying the things he said, because he didn't pull punches on that radio station down in Dallas. So, good job.
Well, I'm sure
by
for him it's got to be frustrating, no?
Yeah, I mean, I would think so.
A team that he played for, a team that he starred for, he calls a number of their games.
I was just going to say, he calls a ton of their games. Yeah, and you know, as a broadcaster, I'm totally cool with Aikman. I like Aikman, because especially when he calls the Cowboy games, he's never, he's not biased. You could tell. He's a pro, you know. Unlike Rodney Harrison in the studio on NBC, where he goes crazy with the Patriots. I know, it always goes back to the Patriots to me. I can't help it. And it's like he's just waving the Patriots.
You like Teddy Bruschi?
No, he's another guy. These guys should show up and to their ESPN jobs and NBC broadcast jobs with the friggin' New England Patriots bow ties on or neckties. And
they should have the pin on.
Yeah,
the helmet.
They should have the pin on. That, you're right. Well, really, you know what, Rodney? Stop. Stop.
Great players.
Please.
Yeah, they certainly were. Thank you, Bill.
It's unbelievable. It's like, I mean, be like Aikman. Be a little bit, Look at my boy Romo. Romo goes on the air, and he does, when he's calling Cowboy games, he's not a homer for the Cowboys.
They're going to go 10 seconds. They have to.
No, he's not.
He's not.
Romo can do no wrong to you.
You understand. He can't do no wrong. And you know that drop. You figured it out over the weekend, right? That was Tony Romo.
Yes, I can't believe they just did that. Wow.
I'm sure you researched it at home.
I did not research. I spent my entire weekend. I was like,
I picture you doing that.
No, yes, that's what I did.
Donna, pull the audio.
No, Jackson, hold on. I can't play with you right now. No football right now. I'm listening to Romo.
Jackson, does this sound like Romo?
I'm listening to Romo game film.
Yeah. Wow. I pictured you all weekend trying to find that game where he did that. I thought you'd show up here Monday like, but I was out sick.
I was wrong.
I know it doesn't sound like him, but it was him.
But you agree it doesn't sound like
him. It doesn't sound like him.
Okay. No. Well, at least we are in agreement there. Because when I hear it, it doesn't sound like him. But Bisseglia, I swear to God, it's almost like I personally insulted him when I said that wasn't Romo.
I pulled it.
That's him.
That is him.
That's him. I cut that audio.
I can't believe they just did that.
Relax for a second. Relax.
Well, I remember it to be specific because I had to go find it on the TV. It was a game in time. It took like 20 minutes. Yeah. It was him.
To light a fire under Mike, it takes a lot. I have to do is question whether or not that's Romo.
Yeah, that's it. Well, because a lot of us here are defensive, except you. We're all very defensive.
Oh, I know. Trust me.
I love him.
This is, we're in Tony Romoville.
Yeah.
He can't do anything wrong, no matter what he does.
He's done so much for Jim Nance's career.
Who cares if Tyrod Taylor's knocked out cold on the field? You got to worry about the 10-second runoff.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
They're bringing out coughs for them.
They're bringing out, right.
Panicking.
They've got the smelling salts. Yeah. They got the neck brace out.
Jugulars cut. There's blood in the air.
He's like, oh, my God, why isn't there?
The clock's wrong.
They don't have a timeout. There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Ooh.
Right, Peterman's already picturing the interception he's about to throw.
And meanwhile, I'm a Bills fan, and I don't even care about Tyrod. I'm like, man, listen to Romo, man. Just speak for
it.
Listen to Romo, man.
So right.
What about your quarterback? Don't worry about it. Tyrod will be fine.
It'll be all right. It'll be all right.
You know, they called it a catch. Some good sound effects, but I didn't see anything there.
Best. Oh, my God. He's the best.
Love him. Bogus, are you a Romo fan?
Oh, I just got here.
Yes. Yeah, I know. You
I am a Romo fan.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, you're a broadcaster, so I was just
I do like Romo. And I liked Aikman talking, you know what. Appreciated it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you have to. But you like him as a commentator, too, Aikman? Oh, you shouldn't hesitate. He's excellent.
He's good, yes, and I like.
I mean,
was say
I hesitate.
Well, everyone could have their own opinion,
no,
right? I mean,
not
I
really.
Well, I like Collinsworth and Michaels. You hate them,
they
right?
They suck. Yeah. They don't. They're not bad. They suck. They suck. It's like listening to a football game in 1973. Okay, they suck. Listen, Collinsworth was a good wide receiver. I know that.
Yeah.
Okay, with the Bengals, I know that. And sometimes when he really wants to break down a play, he's excellent at it. But those guys are marks for themselves. Those guys want to be stars. And now Al Michaels has been doing that for 600 years.
Well, Michaels, I think is already a star, right?
No, he's just living off Miracle on
Ice. He is a star. I know he's a star,
Al
and he's earned it.
You know,
I understand.
Al takes care of you as a listener.
Here we go.
No, I know you might not like his style.
I don't like him,
man. No, I know you don't like his style. I understand stylistically, but in terms of when you're listening to him,
right?
Do you feel like he as a play-by-play guy? Do you think he's taking care of you?
Yes, he's a professional.
Yeah.
He doesn't miss anything.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Yeah,
you're right. You nailed it.
Because there are
other
guys
like
that I feel like when they're doing play-by-play, they don't really take care of the audience.
Right.
I do think that, but. Stylistically, you know, it's fine not to like Al Michaels. I mean,
but he does his job. He does do his job. Yes, you're right.
Collinsworth, I mean, the Pro Football Focus is no, not pro. Yeah,
no, you're right.
Yeah, which he's basically co-owner of, or
he's the CEO. I just saw on NFL Network.
That's why he's always on there.
Yeah,
what a mark! Wow.
Well, yeah, that's why they use those ratings.
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Where have I been?
I've talked about that before.
Watching too much wrestling.
I mentioned that before.
Nah, I didn't hear you.
On the show you mentioned it, Bruce, or just in general?
Yeah, it's been on the show.
I was talking to my son, Paul.
My son, Paul, was
like, what's pro football for? Yeah, he's like, he just lost his first tooth, by the way.
Congrats.
Yes.
You're going to give him $100? $200? What do you give him?
No, I gave him a grant.
Right. Have your son?
I gave him a grant.
Doing well this year,
a grand and a Maserati. It's in the car. It's in
gave
the driveway.
Grand.
Yeah, I gave him a cool grand.
Oh, man. Well, you probably put a little lottery ticket under his pillow.
No, all he wanted was
He's
like,
not my dad. That's what my dad would do.
Yeah, right. No, I gave him the double at Aqueduct.
Here's the tip.
He's walking around with an OTB ticket. What's this? From Bobby Valentine's up there, Winners up there in Stanford, Connecticut.
Rolled
he goes, what's this?
Sounds like my youth.
I'm like, it's a Kentucky Derby future bet. We've got Tis the Law.
Explaining that to the other little kids in kindergarten. Yeah.
My youngest son loves watching the races with me.
Yeah, that's how I was with my dad.
He's into my youngest son, Gregory. He's like, and then they'll come up to me like, which horse are we rooting for?
I'm
like,
start them out young, huh? There you go. Get them going. My mother used to get so mad at my dad.
My wife's like, what are you doing to them?
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I'll stop. She goes,
oh, there's just horses running in a circle.
Yeah, right.
What number's on their belly?
Right, and my daughter's like, oh, that's purple. I'll root for the purple one. Or like one's name is like a...
root for the one with the gold letter.
Yeah, right.
No,
that's
how
my dad was.
They pick the numbers.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, daddy, where's the 9? I go, there's only 8 in the field.
I'm out.
What's the field, daddy?
There's only 8 horses.
Do your
all
homework.
Right. Pick another number.
Room
3.
2, 6, 3. 2, 6, 3.
Oh, my God.
In that order.
I saw on the track of my dad, he would tell me what number to root for. I'm like, no, dad, I'm going to root for that number. No. You got to root for this number here.
Right.
Trust me.
Yeah, exactly.
You want a new pair of cleats for your middle school football games? Root for that guy.
Do you like dinner?
Yeah. Root for that number right there. Oh my God, I get it now.
I'm like, well, I do. I don't. Yeah, I don't do the cleats. I go, listen, the seven wins here, we'll head into the toy store.
There you go. Yeah,
whatever you want. Yeah. Yeah. Within reason.
Yeah, so you guys just burnt the basement down. So we need the aid to hit.
I could tell. Like me and my brother could tell when my dad would get home from the track because he'd go out every day.
Yeah,
we didn't live far from Aqueduct. And we could tell by how he closed the door in the driveway on his car, how he did in the triple at the end of the day. You could tell how he did. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was a loud slam. Like, all right, we'll go hang out in the basement. Let Dad go in the house. Give him a little breathing room. But if it was like it was a quiet slam and he'd come in the house, you hear him whistle. Hey, all right. There you
hit
go.
It.
Yeah, you hit the exact.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah. Better is wear it on. Yeah. Wear their emotions right.
Otherwise,
there.
Otherwise, it's a little bit of a heel. So, I'll let you know that right now. But no, but anyway,
I can. I think that's a lot. I think that's a large percentage of guys and girls that go to the track.
That makes
sense. If you have a good day, I think you're happy as anything. If you have a bad day, I think you come in as a beaten person.
Yeah.
Because if you have a long day at the track, it can wear you out.
Yeah, and you know, all can aside though about sports betting and stuff. Like, forget the horses for a second, but like a lot of my son's friends, you know, a handful. I shouldn't say a lot. They're in their, you know, early 20s or 20. My kids aren't into it, but they're into going to these casinos now.
Yeah,
like I maybe I'm a little behind the times here, but it's like a big thing with young, you know, young guys. They're in college. They're going to casinos, like, and just. I must sound like a jabroni right now, because when I was that age, I did, because I saw my dad gamble so much, me and my brother never got into it, because he used to tell us, it's a bad habit, you know, and when I was that age, I didn't do that stuff, you know what I mean, but like, I'm glad my son doesn't, I mean, you know, they go a little crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, like as long as you're in control, as long as you don't go crazy, as long as you don't go nuts, you know, it doesn't take over your life. I mean, I know people that where it can do. I don't think it's, you know, like when I was up at Syracuse, we used to go to the Indian Reservation Turning Stone Casino.
Oh, I know that spot.
Yeah,
I do know that spot.
Yeah,
I've never been there, but I know what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Turning Stone, and I'm sure it's even bigger now. But
so this is not a new thing for college students.
No, they just opened it up when we were up at Syracuse, like initially, and they were building like the golf course and the hotel. Yeah. But they had the gaming floor, a part of it, opened, and there were some Friday nights where we'd head over there and go gamble.
Yeah. Well, I know, like.
I was playing like war, but
yeah,
rock paper scissors.
Yeah. No, but it's. I don't know. I wasn't
there playing.
You're that age. You don't have a lot of
playing
money.
Blackjack.
That's
or
what I'm
playing
saying.
Craps.
To your point, though, when you're that age, you don't have a lot of money to begin with.
Oh no, it's not like I'm rolling in there with $6,000.
Yeah, like,
and we're rolling on the table 27 red.
Yeah. With a Patron in your mouth.
Exactly.
That's a cigar. Yeah.
Comping with a sweet at night.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're not doing that. Well. I don't know. What do you want me to tell you? I just was wondering if that. I thought it was a newer thing, but I guess it's not.
I feel like it's newer, or it's gotten to a different height now. Because it's so much easier.
Yeah, there's just more of them, I believe. So it's probably
on your phone.
On their phone. Yeah.
That's new. The phone stuff is new.
That's
wasn't there. But in terms of going to the casino, we used to do that when we were in college.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. No. It's something. That's for sure. It's definitely something. You know what I mean?
What's up, Andrew? How are you, buddy?
I'm well, guys. So the Milwaukee Bucks, they keep winning.
Giannis, a three straight away. Shoots it, going again. It's 80-68. ABC, easy as 1-2-3 for the MVP. His third three of the night.
Ted Davis, Bucks Radio. Giannis, 35 and a 127-103 victory in Detroit. 13 consecutive wins for his team. A night after winning in Denver, the Lakers stormed through Utah 121-96. LeBron, 20 points, 12 assists. The Pacers won in OKC 107-100. The Nets outscored the Hawks 131-18. And the Celtics took care of the Heat 112-93. Boston now 8-0 in Boston. The Bruins haven't lost in regulation yet at home this NHL season. And the Pats are 5-0 in Foxborough. College hoops, a rematch from last spring's Elite Eight. Different rosters, different results for Purdue.
Tipped away by Hunter. Proctor has it. Another Purdue takeaway. Harry Cutter, a three from the left wing. Bullseye! And the joint is jumping as Purdue leads 40-19 over the defending national champions.
Blackman, Learfield, IMG College.
Oh, national champions.
Yeah, the Boilermakers. Lakers blitz. The fifth-ranked Cavaliers 69-40. It's their first win in Mackey Arena ever against a non-conference top five opponent. Number six, Ohio State, routed number seven, North Carolina, in Chapel Hill, 74-49. And third-ranked Maryland took care of Notre Dame, 72-51. Elsewhere, number nine, Gonzaga handled Texas Southern 101-62. Clay Helton will get a fifth season as USC football coach, and Eli Manning will get at least one more start for the Giants, it appears. Rookie QB Daniel Jones dealing with a moderate high ankle sprain, so Eli likely to get the nod Monday night in Philadelphia. Tonight in Chicago, it's the Bears and Cowboys in a meeting of disappointing 6-6 teams. And the Philadelphia Phillies inking former Mets righty Zach Wheeler, 5 years, $118 million, 1 year, $18 million. Gets Cole Hamels to Atlanta. Guys?
Yeah, I mean, good for Wheeler. Bothered by that, Taz, as a Mets fan?
Immensely, yeah. I almost didn't want it to come up on the show, but yeah, why would I want... Yeah, it's just like... Yeah, no, I don't want him on the Phillies. I liked Wheeler, you know, but... And he probably...
Well, you're bothered by... I mean, you're happy... I mean, for him to gamble on himself, I mean...
Sure.
But you're happy the fact that he goes to the Phillies.
That just makes me sick.
Yeah, I'm glad the Mets didn't pay him $118 million.
No, I don't think
he
should have gotten
that.
Right, exactly. For them to do that, it's just that's a little bit of a reach, but still good for him to get that kind of money. He's a heck of a pitcher, he is. But, yeah, that's just the Phillies, you know. And now they got Girardi over there. They got a...
Who came out the other day, wants Didi badly.
Really?
Yeah. He's basically stolen, talking about how great...
How'd that get out? Like, how'd he get that? What did he say? He didn't say it. He can't do that.
Yeah,
he's a free agent. He can say whatever he wants about him.
He's a free agent. So, yeah, he could talk... He talked about the... Yeah, he said that Gregorius is great in the clubhouse, great on the field, great defensively. He said he's... You know, an unbelievable. You know, he couldn't.
I like Didi. Seems like Yankee fans almost don't give him enough love. Didi, I like him.
Yeah, I like Gregorius as well. I think it'd be a mistake, and I don't think the Yankees are bringing him back. But I think it's going to be a mistake that the Yankees move on from.
You think Yankee Torres fans would be upset if he's gone? Because if I was a Yankee fan, I would be. I feel like most Yankee fans don't. It's like, I don't know. It's like...
I think it's a case of what have you done for me lately. I think the fact that he struggled so much offensively when he came back off the Tommy John surgery, I think maybe some Yankee fans have cooled to the idea. I think if you go back to last year, Taz, I think every Yankee fan would have signed on the dotted line for Didi Gregorius to come back.
Like Jeter 2.0.
Basically. Right, he's been great.
You know, he has.
I mean, at one point in time, he was a top five shortstop in the game.
I know, I remember. Yeah,
I mean,
that's not that long ago.
We're going back a year ago.
Yeah, no, he's a real good player. There's no doubt about it. He's legit.
And we'll see what Wheeler does with the
Phillies. God, I hope he doesn't go to the friggin' Phillies. Come on.
Well, we'll see.
Oh, my God. It just hit
me
now.
Bryce Harper will ruin it. Don't worry.
Yeah, they got Harper, too. I mean, it's like, yeah, just now when you were saying that, I'm thinking about it. The Girardi Phillies, but I'm thinking about Didi with the Yankees. Then I'm thinking now, as you're saying, like him actually with the Phillies. Oh, jeez.
Well, I mean, talk about a team that's spending big money. I mean, they are spending big money, the Philadelphia Phillies. They did last offseason to make a big play. Zach Wheeler and bring him aboard. Maybe Gregorius. Who knows where Philadelphia goes next? And they got Girardi as manager.
I know, Moose. I know. Thanks for bringing it
up. But the big news for the Mets yesterday is, you know, they're in negotiations to sell 80% of the team.
I like that.
To a guy that's worth $13.2 billion.
Bring it on. I think it's great.
And a Met fan from Long Island.
I say bring him on.
Steve Cohen.
Yep. Not the one from the radio station.
No, he's not the VP of sports at Sirius XM Satellite Radio.
Not Steve Cohen. I'm like, wait, he's doing well there.
Yeah, that's exactly
big shot
right. He's a hedge fund guy. He's a Wall Street guy. But he's a super Met fan that, according to papers yesterday, said when, you know, he will be a big player and spend big money on players moving forward.
Maybe he needs an assistant GM that lives on Long Island.
Yeah, maybe, right.
That's three of them. I'll bring Pete in.
And one from Jersey who could deliver him
Mikey
food.
B.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, should be interesting. Right. If he lives, he's
Mr.
making
Cohen,
that kind of money.
Would you mind coming on my latest edition of Basketball Drives?
Mike would probably get him on it. If he lives on the island, he's making that kind of money. He's on the North Shore. That I promise you.
You might be right. You might be right. I mean, that's where the big players live.
Yeah, I don't think he's no knock. I don't think he's living in Levittown. Okay. Just saying. No knock on anybody in Levittown. But
Bruce Arians on the future of Jameis Winston. We'll get into that next. It's Taz and Moose on this Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Yep.
Sunday, it's another NFL on CBS doubleheader. First, Baltimore's MVP candidate Lamar Jackson takes his show on the road to Buffalo, followed by a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game when the Patriots welcome the Chiefs. It all starts with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS.
So we're talking about this gentleman, Stephen A. Cohen, who is going to own a percentage of the New York Mets.
Yeah, 80% controlling interest.
80%. Yeah, he, you know, you said he's from Long Island. He is from Long Island. But now he lives up in your neck of the woods. He actually lives in Greenwich.
Okay.
So that's where Vince McMahon is from. That
yeah,
too.
Number of ginormous
High
houses.
Roland Jones. You got Greenwich. The McMahons, you got the Cohens, you got the Malusises. They're all up there.
Yeah, I'm not in Greenwich. But so, yes,
you're near there, though.
All right. So, I passed by it on the way to Starbucks.
I think there's maybe 600 Starbucks in Greenwich, but that's another
story. Yeah, there are. I think you might be right about that.
Because I used to pass there when I used to go to Stanford to the WWE office. Yeah. I would stop at a Starbucks in Greenwich.
Yeah.
And you know who I met there was, I'm drawing a blank. Great, legendary running back for the Giants who passed away. Oh, man, he's through the Monday Night Football games.
Frank Gifford.
Gifford, I can remember his name. And I ran into him there.
Really?
Yeah.
I think they live up there.
Years ago. I don't know if they still do.
Now.
One of the only celebrity type guys. I actually went up and introduced myself.
That's nice.
I respected him. But yeah, so this Mr. Cohen here, you're right. He's extremely, he's a billionaire Jones. went to UPenn. Ivy League Jones, and went to the Wharton School of Business. That's the quarterback that was, what's his name, that was at UCLA. His grandmother started that. The one who was with the Cardinals.
Rosen.
Yeah. I'm forgetting everybody's name today. Too many chair shots. Josh Rosen, that's the school of business, his grandmother started.
Well, it's going to be now, the one thing with the caveat to it, first off, he's got to be approved, right? Now, they're in negotiations. The deal has not been finalized. Reportedly, it's $2.6 billion that he'll buy the Mets for. It would not include SNY, the company that I work, it would not include the regional sports network, right?
Otherwise, he'd be your boss.
What? Otherwise, right. So, but and,
then you could connect me with him.
Well, of course.
And Pete.
Yeah. Yes, I could connect everyone. Yes, that's how we're right. He'd just be walking around the newsroom.
That'd be a scene.
Yes, that's exactly right.
That would be a scene.
But Fred would remain and Jeff Wilpon would remain and control the team for the next 5 years.
Can you get us a meeting with Mr. Cohen?
No, probably not. Oh. I couldn't even get a meeting with Mr. Cohen.
Because I'm thinking I could do a little work for the Mets, and I want to bring my friends Mike and Pete with me. I've been thinking about this.
I'm in.
We could do maybe a podcast for the Mets.
Yes.
Mike can edit it.
Yeah.
I can.
Yeah.
Or Pete can edit it. Mike's an on-air talent now.
True.
And Mike and I could...
Well, Bilotti could do talent evaluation.
Yeah, right.
That's and make the schedules.
Or maybe Bawami can make an appearance in seventh inning stretch.
Sing God Bless America.
Or do Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
That's a separate contract.
Right.
And Moose, you could come on as a guest, as a Met hater, with passive aggressive shots and loving the Yankees. You could do that.
It'd be great.
Not a Met hater. You're not a Met hater, but you know what I mean. But no, yeah, so you'll get to set up with us, Stephen A. Cohen.
Yeah, of course, right? It's top of my list. Right?
Great. Tell me we're going to do a little podcast for him. Yeah.
But he'll be if this deal does go through, he'll be the wealthiest owner in all of Major League Baseball.
Wow.
He'll be the wealthiest owner of all of baseball.
And my team still won't be in the World Series.
Well, but it's...
We'll have cool uniforms, though.
Well, they'll be... whoever thought... And give Tiki Barber credit. He broke the story.
Wow, Tiki's my man. You know that. That's
Tiki basically he put it out there on his show here on CBS Sports Radio, and people weren't giving him credit, and he ended up being correct.
Well, let's play the sound on the other side of the break. No, maybe not.
Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.